I want to begin by expressing how much I appreciate the attention that has been given to this new and very special way of being in touch with each other via video streaming. This has been a new experience for me, ministering in this way. But with each passing week, the meaning, significance of being in touch this way has grown significantly. This morning, we begin a new series of messages. The last couple of months, January and February, we have been looking on the subject of the fear of the Lord. Much has been taught. The challenge is to learn as much. But this new series of messages over the pulpit has the focus on Easter. God willing, we will be able to gather together to worship our wonderful risen Savior on Easter Sunday. And we just pray that this would be possible, but it's something to look forward to. And the series title is A Living Hope. And we need to have this hope, a hope that is living, a living idea of it all. But this living hope is tied up with an even more important idea. Jesus as the living stone. And this living hope is something that God has given, but it is very, very much tied in with the Lord Jesus Christ as the living stone. And so we will prepare even now forward, looking forward towards Easter. And it is something that we want to keep close and dear to our hearts. Let's look forward to worshiping together again. Let's look forward to celebrating Easter meaningfully. We don't know if we can, but we will work towards it as a living hope based upon the living stone. The subject of Jesus as a living stone is a very, very special way of looking at the subject of suffering, of pain, and of death. Sometimes when we think of Easter, we think only in terms of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and His resurrection. But very often we miss the point. We fail to understand that there was a greater sense of purpose, a greater goal that He had in mind, and not just suffering. And so this morning we are going to look at the first epistle of the Apostle Peter and learn vital lessons that will help us to have a living hope in the living stone. Life and its reality must include pain and suffering. The problem is we very often do not know how to actually cope with pain and with suffering. Some 20 years ago now, Mitch Albom wrote a book entitled Tuesdays with Maury. And in this book, he wrote about a series of Tuesdays that he had with his old and dying professor, Maury Schwartz. Every Tuesday, he would fly 700 miles away from home to visit with his professor. And that book became a New York bestseller. and all the books of Mitch Albom has sold over 40 million copies. That book was a very important book with reference to the writing of Mitch Albom. In this particular book, he and his dying professor dealt with the subject of death. And Murray, his professor, said to him that many people, while they know that they will die, cannot really believe that they will. And so a number of lessons were penned down. And that book has become a seminal book introducing us to the writings of Mitch Albom. And that millions would actually buy this book and read tells us that many people are concerned about the question of suffering, of pain, and of death. Murray was the one who said to Mitch Albom that he was not afraid to die, that he was going to face death with dignity. And his word was that when people learn how to die, they begin to know how to live. But you know, in the book that, Tuesdays with Maury, and I've read it more than once, there were certain areas which were deficient. The thoughts were not as clear. There were many things that were moving, well written, but there was something that was seriously missing. And I think that as we approach the subject of suffering, of pain, and of death, we have something far better than Tuesdays with Maury as our guideline towards how we can cope with suffering and with pain. And with COVID-19, many people have become afraid. And the reason for that fear is because we are quite unprepared for suffering. We are even less prepared if death should take place. And so as this morning, as we begin the first of the series of messages on the subject of a living stone, let's try and discover for ourselves how we can cope with suffering, with the specter of death, how we can cope with a living hope in a risen Savior. And this morning, we want to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter wrote, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, in Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elects according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied." In these two verses, we have a framework that is actually effective, that will help us to cope with the specter of suffering and even of death. The context of 1 Peter must be noted. The Apostle Peter was writing to many Christians, many believers who were scattered, the diaspora. They were scattered all over the place. Originally, perhaps, they came from Jerusalem, from Judea. But now they were scattered in areas like Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, that is, and Bithynia. They were far away from home. So much so that the word that was chosen was that they were pilgrims. They were like strangers. They were like people who were aliens in a foreign country. If ever there is suffering that is of significance, this one word, pilgrim, would be that word. How would people be able to cope if they have lost home, if they have lost property, if they have lost their possessions, if they have lost their loved ones, if they have lost their family? How would they cope? That is the question. And then we read of how Peter wrote with such confidence, helping the people to understand what was happening in their lives. But let's take a look at this, the first word that we must draw great encouragement from. And that word is found in this idea of, in verse 2, the word is elect. How can we cope? And we want to understand and appreciate this, that God, in His great wisdom, in a wisdom that is profound, He elected. The word here, elect, simply means chosen. And this was the word that we read in Isaiah 41:9 last week. It was where the Lord said that to Israel, I have chosen you. It is a word that Jesus Himself used as well to describe His disciples when He said, I chose you. John 15 and verse 16. Right? In Peter's language, it is the word elect. Paul's language is the idea of being chosen. The word chose and the word elect are exactly the same words. In English, they are different. But in the Greek text, they're exactly the same. And so we have to ask ourselves to understand how this works. You mean, if we are dispersed, if we have to suffer, if we are far away from things which we know are familiar with, we are still the elect of God. To me, this is profound insight. And insight, understanding God, enables us to cope very much better. So as we think of how we can cope, possibility of suffering a pay cut, or suffering a job loss, or facing illnesses, diseases, the question is, how can we cope? And we can cope better if we have this insight of the doctrine of election. God knows. He understands. Maybe there's a little bit of suffering on this earth. But here is insight that helps us to cope, that we are the elect of God. Now, the doctrine of election is more than just a matter of God choosing us. The doctrine of election has a profound element here. We call this involvement. Look at verse 2 again, and we see this very, very clearly. The concept, the doctrine of election, sees the direct personal involvement of all the three persons in the Godhead. Firstly, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Does God know all about us? Yes. Does He care for us? Yes, as Father. Does He understand the pain and the suffering that we have as one who is Father? Absolutely. This is His involvement. And I think that is something that we cannot but understand and appreciate a little bit better. I think that this is something that we all face, those of us who are fathers or grandfathers. The experience of love and care is something that we cannot dismiss easily. It is something that moves the heart to know that the Father is involved in every sense of the word. Just in knowledge, His foreknowledge says a lot. God knows about the diaspora being pilgrims and suffering and pain and death. He knows. This brings great comfort to the heart. The second part of the phrase, in sanctification of the spirit for obedience. How wonderful it is to know that amidst all that we go through, the Spirit of God is involved, and He will continue to sanctify us. He will keep us. He will keep us intact. He will keep us holy in the love of God. This brings tremendous inspiration to the heart. And this is something that we want to look at. And then the third person involved, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the doctrine of election involves all three persons. There is powerful activity. There is profound involvement in a way that we will probably never fully understand. In the foreknowledge of God, there is much thought. There is much planning. In the work of the Spirit, there is sanctification, there is protection. And in the involvement of the Lord Jesus Christ, preciously we read about the sprinkling of His blood, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Himself. And this brings us a tremendous sense of inspiration to understand what this really, really means. How does that work? The sense of involvement. You know, in the book called Tuesdays with Maury, the late Professor Schwartz said this, that one day when he was watching television about Bosnia, of the wars, the battles that were raging on, and he saw how people were killed and people were dying. And he said that one of the things that he felt as he saw blood being shed, as he watched the television, tears came. And he said very much that as he grew older, tears came more often. There was a sense of identification with everybody. And this is something that we want to take note of. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ is involved. In the most wonderful, in the most inspiring way ever, to think of His shedding of His blood for us. But what does that really, really mean when we talk about the shedding of blood? This idea of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ is a phrase that is very much found in the Old Testament. The idea of the sprinkling of blood was for the purpose of sanctification. It was for the purpose of consecration. It was, if the tabernacle was to be consecrated, the blood of the lambs had to be sprinkled, or the oxen. Sprinkle on the altar, sprinkle on the tabernacle. In Exodus 24, the idea of the sprinkling of blood was also mentioned. When God gave the covenants to Israel, to Moses, to Aaron, and to 70 elders who were present, oxen were slain, the blood was collected, and it was sprinkled on the altar to consecrate it. And symbolically, it was sprinkled on the people present to signify that they have entered into a special covenant relationship with God. The sprinkling of blood is of great, great significance. It was significant in the days of the tabernacle, significant in the days when the covenant was established between God and Israel. It is even more significant because through the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are the elects, that we are part of the new covenant, that is confirmed and sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? What does it mean when Peter wrote about this and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ? The whole doctrine of election is confirmed and sealed because in this new covenant, we become God's elect. We become the chosen of God. We go through everything that we get. All the ramifications are ours now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is wonderful to understand the ramifications. In the Old Testament, it was Israel. Exodus 24. In the New Testament, we are the church. Ephesians chapter 2. And so we are now the elects of God, committed to obeying this great and wonderful God. And as we take a look at what it all means, as you put it into a nutshell, you begin to understand why this was needed. It is not just simply accepting death or suffering, as people would like to help us to understand. Far greater is the fact that we now have instruction concerning how we should face suffering. We must and we can face any suffering. We can cope with any amount of suffering if there is that instruction and insight from the Word of God. God wants to remind us we are elect in His sight. We are elect because we are chosen by the Father. We are sanctified by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood was shed for the elect. And this is something that must give to us tremendous insight as to where we stand before God. And as we take a look at it further, we begin to realize that all three persons have been involved and continue to be involved in our election. So as we take a look at how we can celebrate Easter, we can celebrate Easter very significant when we understand this. Hopefully, on Easter Sunday, we will consecrate three people. And they would be Moses, Eugene, and Simon Nagaraj. We want to see them as people who are going to be consecrated as our intern pastors. For Eugene and Moses, it would be to serve the Lord as intern pastors at Bethany. For Simon, it would be learning how to be an intern pastor over in India. But it involves the idea of consecration. And the idea of consecration begins here, exemplified for us. We are consecrated because of our election. We are consecrated, sanctified by the Spirit of God. We are consecrated by the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't use actual blood today, but the concept, the doctrine is of great significance. We can cope better, not simply because of philosophical ideas of how to suffer, of how to die, presented in a book called Tuesdays with Maury. We have something far better. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ teaching us that He was not afraid to die, not afraid to suffer, because He saw beyond His suffering, saw beyond His death, to become the living stone, to give to us a living hope. And this is what must keep us going. I think this is something that we do not want to take for granted in any way. How can we live better? We can live far more significantly. We can live far more courageously when we bear in mind these wonderful truths. the insight from the Word of God, the involvement of all three persons of the Godhead, we can find that inspiration from God to cope and more. And I know it has been three long weeks now since we last have had our worship together. But how do we continue to cope? We cannot put at risk those who are older, those who are weaker, and they may potentially catch this virus that may cause serious trouble with their health and even possibly death. We cannot take any of these things for granted. But while we wait for the time when we can come back for worship together, what will help us to keep us going? What will help us to cope? Surely it is in this word called election. Is this all part of God's foreknowledge? Yes. Are we still election of God? Absolutely. There must be a greater understanding and a deeper appreciation of what it means to be elect of God. And one day, we look forward to that one day when the elect of God will come back together for worship corporately as a church at Bethany at 301 Upper Paya Lebar. Let us, in the meantime, be challenged to offer personal worship, to offer little group worship, to offer worship from the Lord or to the Lord from our hearts in great appreciation of what it means to be truly the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. May this doctrine of election become a very, very great source of encouragement. How wonderful it is to acknowledge also people who continue to speak of their love and their commitment to support the work of Bethany. And just today, we receive another love gift of 10,000 for the support of Bethany. And we thank God for every single one who has expressed that love for the Lord's work for Bethany, despite all the challenges which are there. And there are challenges with reference to jobs, with reference to health, with reference even possibly death. And yet we remain absolutely committed, courageous in our faith in God. May the doctrine of election prove to be that special source of encouragement to our heart this morning. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so very, very much for this doctrine of election. Help us to understand and help us to have this insight. Sometimes we forget that we are elect of God, chosen. And we pray that you will remind us of what it means to have you love us as Father, to have the Spirit of God sanctifying us still, and the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that made all these things possible to become the elect of God. Help us to be instructed. Help us to feel inspired, even though we miss so much the sense of corporate worship that our beloved church we call Bethany. We ask you to continue to keep us in faith, in courage, in focus, inspired to live for you as we always should. We give thanks that we can pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave his life for us, whose blood was shed for us. We ask that you will just help us to remain sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.